This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about Friday fish fries.
Yes. I'm glad you specified because I got a little under the weeds of this. You told me this was going to be a difficult one historically, and you were correct. But... that being said, you had a specific reason for bringing this one, yes?
Yes, because the season of Lent is almost upon us, or is upon us as this episode is coming out. And this is a whole cultural thing.
Yeah.
And I have a bunch of friends from Wisconsin, and I don't understand them all the time, but they have assured me... that this is a situation. And furthermore, I have seen advertisements for, or like flyers, welcoming committees for this kind of thing around Atlanta and elsewhere. So.
Yes. And we are going to be talking a lot about Wisconsin in this, but a lot of other states do it. So I don't want other states to feel slighted. Listeners write in.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, I did. My ex-boyfriend was from Wisconsin. When I was visiting his family up there once, I went to, I think it was June. It would have been July.
Okay.
In July. And there was a huge, it was like, I'm hoping listeners can write in about this and explain what happened to me. Because I didn't know at the time. I'd never heard of this. I didn't know what was going on. But he was like, we're going to this fish fry. Like, okay, it sounds great. And it was alongside like a lake, and it felt more to me like a festival than it wasn't like I went into one restaurant. It was like tents and so much fish and so many potatoes of various types. And I got these buttons out of it. And I was lamenting
like pinback buttons.
Yes, that you pin to your shirt, I guess. I was lamenting to Lauren before this. I wanted to find them and maybe illuminate where I had been, what I had been doing. But I could not find them, alas. So if listeners know what I'm talking about. But I remember it was a very fun atmosphere. The food was great. The water was cool. It was just a nice... lovely day outside with fried fish and a lot of sides. It was great. Beer.
That sounds terrific. Yeah. Yeah. I have never been to a Friday fish fry, but I'm super curious about them now. I mean, I have eaten fried fish.
Yes.
I have eaten many of these sides that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
I mean, we live in Atlanta.
Also true.
fried fish is kind of a thing here. But yeah.
Yeah.
I do need to say that while doing this reading and looking at a lot of photographs of fish fries, I was eating my pre-planned and earnestly lovely salad lunch today, and I was so viscerally angry.
Mm-hmm.
And this will certainly have an effect on my dinner.
Me too. I was thinking about this today because one of the lovely things about this show I have realized is that it does give me a wonderful opportunity to be like, I need to get Gorgonzola. Shall I do? And there's just so many foods that I have in my life now that I have in my life because of the show and because of listeners. And I'm like, last night I made too many sides for my solo Valentine's Day thing that I did, which was great. But I'm going to make some fried fish for the side, the extra side. So I'm very excited about it. But yes,
that's
also
wonderful.
Same. Huh. So this whole thing, the fish fry, not maybe specifically, but kind of, has come up in a lot of episodes. A lot of them have been surprising to me, at least. The same with Lent. Lent comes up a lot in episodes that we do about food trends, traditions. But for this episode specifically, we have done fish and chips. A lot of our fish episodes, perhaps.
Seafood, perhaps specifically some of our New Orleans episodes, if you'd like to revisit those. Maybe that big fish industry episode that we did out of Oahu. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think a couple of the sides we've touched on.
Sure,
we've done
totally.
Some things that are related to that. Huh. Some beers. Beer can be a big part of it.
Yeah.
So a lot. But I guess that brings us to our question.
I guess it does.
Friday fish fry. What is it?
Well, a Friday fish fry is a type of social meal where you get together with family or friends or community on a Friday for a lunch or dinner of fillets of breaded fried fish, along with usually some kind of fried potato and some tangy condiments. The fish is usually something light and white and flaky, fried till tender and golden brown, and condiments like coleslaw, tartar sauce, and lemon wedges are common. But the exact style of everything is really adaptable to whatever's locally available or preferred. It's sometimes a large service, like family style and or buffet sort of situation. It's just a big old plate of comfort food, meant to be eaten in good company. Probably inexpensive, possibly with beer. It's a start to your weekend and a reminder that the good things in life don't have to be costly or fancy. It's like being encased in the warm golden color of a perfect ale or of the perfect crispy batter.
Just a nice thing to look forward to.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I get like viscerally angry at my very nice salad, which had done nothing wrong. But it certainly was not a giant plate of fried fish.
Indeed.
Okay. So yes, any number of types of fish might be used. Great Lakes locals, as here in the United States, this does focus on the Great Lakes a lot. Things like perch, lake trout, smelts, bluegill, whitefish, or walleye can be used. Ocean fish like cod, haddock, or flounder. River fish like catfish. Other seafood like shrimp or oysters. These days, there might be a trade-off between fresh local fish versus the price of a plate, as a number of environmental and fishing industry factors have led to declining populations of some of those local traditional fishes. The fry is the breading from a batter that puffs up like nice and thick and fluffy. Is it breadcrumbs fried thin and crisp? Is it cornmeal? Does it involve beer or milk or buttermilk? Do you put seasonings in the batter? This is an important question in the South. is it deep fried or pan fried or baked? Then sides and sauces and tableside seasonings. Does it come with coleslaw, steamed or boiled veg like cabbage, green beans, or corn? Potato salad, macaroni salad, maybe some rye bread or rye toast with butter? Soft rolls, crispy rolls, grits, hush puppies, mac and cheese, French fries, potato pancakes with sour cream or applesauce or both, hash browns, buttered boiled potatoes, baked potato, your sauces, your tartar sauce, lemon wedges, hot sauce, malt vinegar. Oh. I'm like one of every. I'm like one of everything, please. I'm like, yes.
Yes.
I'll take it.
Sounds good.
The meal itself. Okay, so in some areas of the United States with a Catholic, Lutheran, Anglican, or Methodist roots, perhaps especially in the Midwest and even more specifically in the aforementioned Great Lakes region, but like also definitely in New Orleans and other places, Friday fish fries are common on Fridays in general and during Lent in particular, Lent being the season leading up to Easter. Local churches and other organizations may host Friday fish fries as like casual, family-friendly fundraising events. And in some areas, lots of local restaurants will do a fish fry every week during Lent, a Friday fish fry. In many places, wine or beer and some kind of dessert are also integral parts of the meal. Yeah, but that is really just scratching the surface. Just for example, there are dozens of Friday fish fries around the greater Atlanta area.
Yes. Yes. And we're not near, like, water, so.
No. If you're, no burst.
If you're near water, it gets bigger. Also, I read about some, like, specific cocktails. I would love the listeners write in about that.
Yeah.
That are traditional at these fish fries. But what about the nutrition?
Ah, well, fried foods are calorically dense with fats from the frying process. You know, mind your portion sizes, drink water, eat a vegetable. Eat a vegetable that is not tartar sauce, okay?
As SpongeBob would say, oh, tartar sauce. It's like a curse word in the SpongeBob universe.
Oh, cute. I love it.
Oh. Well, we do have some numbers for you.
A couple. Because this is like a community event, like I don't have like global production numbers of Friday fish fries, but a few random pieces here and there. Okay, so Barrow's Catfish, which is a 70-plus-year-old Black family-owned restaurant in New Orleans, says that they may cook up some 3,000 pounds of fried fish a week during Lent.
Wow.
Yeah. Not strictly related, but if you're in the D.C. area, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, hosts a fish fry every June for about 1,000 people or so. This began in 1975 and was punnily called Friday's Fish Fry after a man by the name of Paul Friday, who was one of the originators. Anyway, it's always focused on presenting tasty iterations of underutilized seafood. It took a couple years off for COVID, but it's supposedly back and open to the public again this year, perhaps under its new name, NOAA Sustainable Seafood Celebration.
Oh, sounds nice.
Which is a tongue twister, but lovely. Yeah.
Yeah. Seafood celebration.
Yeah. Sustainable seafood celebration. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the McDonald's franchise that came up with the Filet-O-Fish sandwich, which is related, more on that later, in Montfort Heights, Ohio, sells easily three times the number of these fried fish sandwiches on Good Friday than any other day of the year. As of 2022, I think, that was some 872 sandwiches on Good Friday versus like 200 to 300 on any other given day.
Wow.
Yeah. More widely, a quarter of all McDonald's Filet-O-Fish sales happen during Lent, which is like 40 days out of the year. So.
Yeah. Which was very purposeful on McDonald's part, and we will talk about that. Yes.
Yep.
There's a lot of history, a lot of varying history to go over.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so I know we've talked about this before, but mm-hmm. because it's so important to this episode, let's just go over it again.
Uh-huh.
The Christian tradition of fasting on Fridays to honor Jesus's crucifixion on Good Friday goes back to at least the first century CE. In the early days, the Catholic Church ruled that Catholics should abstain from eating warm-blooded meat on Fridays as penance for Christ's sacrifice. And one of the first known historical instances of meat being mentioned in conjunction with Lent dates back to sometime between the 3rd and 4th century when a religious historian detailed how, during the 40 days of Lent, meat and meat products like cheese and eggs were prohibited. After being elected in 590 CE, Pope Gregory I mentioned this practice, and then the church made it official canon law in 1249 CE. However, cold-blooded meat, like fish, was allowed since after Jesus' resurrection, he cooked his apostles' fish. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Catholic. I don't think that will surprise anybody. I had a very Catholic friend growing up. My boyfriend, ex-boyfriend who I went to Wisconsin with was very Catholic. So I read a lot about it for this, but just to say, this is what I read.
Yeah. I also have very little Catholic experience in my life, but so cool. Yeah. So we're reporting on what we have read. Y'all write in. Yeah. Also, I do understand that there are a number of other Christian sects that that over time have adopted these rules.
Yes. And one of the reasons I wanted to mention that, yeah, I'm like reading Catholic works for this episode is because I did find other sources that were saying different reasons why people eat fish on Friday. And to me, it sounds like maybe it started as one thing and then it became like fish was cheaper in some areas. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as a painful thing to give up as other meats. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just saying like there are other schools of thought, but this is kind of the mainstream thing I read.
Also knowing what I vaguely know from like our butter episode, I feel positive that there was something to do with taxes or tariffs or other monetary than just like it was less expensive reasons. But
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
With
stuff.
That being said, stuff. Separate from Lent, the history of frying fish is a very old history, especially in places where fish are easily accessible. Again, you can see any of our fish episodes, fish and chips. Yes, so that was already going on. But because this history was kind of a dense one, I split it up differently than I would normally do. So I wanted to start first with the history of the Friday fish fry in Wisconsin in particular.
Okay.
So let's talk about how that became such a tradition there. So most sources indicate that the three main reasons that this tradition took off in that state are Catholicism, prohibition, and the availability of freshwater fish. So a lot of the thousands of European families that settled in Wisconsin in the 1800s were Polish and German Catholics. In fact, the 1900 records show 1/3 of the state's population, they were German. Mm-hmm. So when European Catholics came to America, they brought this practice of not eating warm-blooded meat on Fridays with them, but fish was allowed. So they brought that too. And just a note also, we've mentioned a few other meats. We've done a few episodes on other meats that have been subject to this conversation, including alligator and frog legs.
Mm-hmm.
Can you eat that on Fridays?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
During Lent. Yeah. Also of note, the indigenous peoples in this region had practices of feeding their communities with large amounts of fish for thousands of years. When the Europeans arrived, they picked up the practice too because the fish were so plentiful. So it was inexpensive and it was fairly easy to feed a lot of people with the fish, which fit in with their religious beliefs. So there's that piece.
Okay.
The other piece, prohibition, also comes up in a lot of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So during Prohibition, a lot of taverns in Wisconsin used the state's readily available and cheap freshwater fish in fry dishes in order to survive financially without alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time in the state, there were already a lot of breweries, and there may have been some beer sold under the table at these establishments to go with the fish fry. So this is when the Friday fish fry really took root in the state. Locally caught perch was abundant and inexpensive, so much so that according to some sources, a few establishments offered free fried fish with the purchase of a beer.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. At some point during the 1940s and 50s, local Wisconsin restaurateurs introduced the idea of all-you-can-eat family-style fish fries, and many other restaurants followed their lead. So it was a pretty popular thing. At this point, you can have beer again legally.
Mm-hmm.
But with all of this popularity, this led to over-harvesting of the fish in local waterways. When commercial interest really got underway in the early 20th century, overfishing led to significant decline and near extinction of some fish, like the lake trout and whitefish that were used popularly in fish fries. To address this, the Great Lakes Fishery Commission formed in 1954 to protect and manage the fish populations from things like overfishing and invasive species, which had become a problem too at that point and are still a problem. We'll talk about that later. Sometime during the 1960s, the rules for Catholics around eating meat on Fridays changed, instead limited to Fridays during Lent. So instead of like a year-round thing, just during Lent.
Mm-hmm.
But by then, the idea of going out for fish on Fridays was already enshrined in the minds of Wisconsinites. Like, it was a thing they looked forward to. They liked doing it, so they continued doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So the tradition is still alive and well, but climate change is having an impact on it. As Wisconsin's lakes warm, more invasive species take hold, and the populations of fish like perch, whitefish, and lake trout, commonly used in these fish fries, are declining.
Hmm. Yeah. Recently, some locals have been trying to help lessen climate change by recycling Friday fry oil into biodiesel. A public radio station out of Missouri, KBIA, ran a story in 2016 about a few people and organizations in Nebraska gathering thousands of gallons of restaurant and church fish fry oil for recycling. Pretty cool. But of course, they are not the only folks working on it. There are all kinds of research and programs bent towards improving conditions for native fish. But that's other episodes.
That is. And also, I know I said it earlier, I'll say it again. Other states in this region do this too. And I read really fun differences between like what Pennsylvania has as their sides versus this state. So
yeah,
just to say.
The Great Lakes region in general is pretty big on this concept from what I can tell. But Wisconsin frequently gets called out specifically.
Yes. they got a lot of tradition behind
Or lauded specifically, I should say, not like called out.
Called out, you Wisconsin. But I wanted to reemphasize that because now we're moving to a different region.
Mm-hmm.
So let us talk about fish fry traditions in the South. So just like in Wisconsin and other northern states that do this, Southern fish fries have roots with the indigenous people of the region who would fry up a bunch of fish for their community. For enslaved peoples forcibly moved to the southern U.S., fish was one of the few things that they could catch themselves without retribution, especially in the Mississippi Delta, where catfish were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But in Georgia, it was tilapia. In other states like Tennessee or Alabama, it may have been swine or whiting. According to Tasting Table, life for the enslaved generally slowed down on Saturday evenings, allowing time to go fishing and to share the bounty amongst enslaved communities in Saturday fish fries. But after the Great Emancipation and the Great Migration, these traditions spread throughout the country, and eventually the Saturday fish fries moved to Fridays.
Yeah, I suspect that as the industrial work week became a thing, and B, as the migration occurred, these disparate but similar traditions dovetailed, especially in southern areas like New Orleans with Catholic populations.
Right. And many Black Americans opened restaurants based on fish fry. I found a lot of restaurants in Atlanta where I was like, Yep.
Fish and grits, y'all.
So modernly, these fish fries are still popular in the South and in particular in Black communities and in particular in the summer and fall, from what I read. And they are communal events. They are these things that you come out and you share and you have these hangouts, meetups, catch-ups with people. And so I love that that is part of it, that this is another example of something that is more than just a food. Like the fish fry is more than just a food.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a community. Yeah.
Yeah. But that being said, again, we're focusing on those two regions. Listeners, please let us know if you've been to these things, if you've done them, if you have different things in your region.
Oh, yeah.
But that being said, we did want to talk about McDonald's for a second.
Uh-huh.
Because I just remembered we'd mentioned this in a past episode and I had to know more.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the filet of fish. So when the company noticed a drop of orders, specifically a franchisee noticed a drop of orders for their burgers on Fridays related to religious reasons, they wanted to introduce another menu option to cover that loss. Here we go, the filet of fish. But okay, a little more context. This was the brainchild of a McDonald's franchise owner, Lou Groen, in 1962 around Cincinnati, Ohio. He got the idea when he realized that Catholics abstaining from meat on Fridays was hurting his bottom line because his location was located in a heavily Catholic neighborhood. And a nearby restaurant offering fish options was knocking them out of the park during this time. So originally, McDonald's founder, Ray Kroc, hated the idea, believing that fish would stink up their restaurants. And here is a quote from his book about it. "Hell no. I don't care if the Pope himself comes to Cincinnati. He can eat hamburgers like everybody else. We are not going to stink up our restaurants with any of your damned fish." Wow.
Ray Kroc.
The Pope can eat hamburgers like everybody else.
Ray Kroc, oh my gosh, coming in hot every time.
Really, he really did. He really did.
Ooh.
But he eventually did relent when the Filet-O-Fish won in a sandwich contest against Kroc's idea, the Hula Burger, which was like a grilled pineapple and cheese sandwich, and it won easily.
Yeah, the Filet-O-Fish outsold the Hula Burger 350-6.
Oof. That's a substantial loss.
That is, yep.
You know, as the numbers keep coming in and you're like, at first you have hope, but then as it goes on, you're like,
oh,
miscalculation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yes, the Filet-O-Fish won. And when it went nationwide in 1965, it was the first non-hamburger sandwich added to McDonald's menu.
Mm-hmm.
I read somewhere it was like the first. It was confusing to me because I was like, well, there's French fries. But anyway, it was a big deal.
Yeah, I think it might have been like the first new addition to the menu in basically ever. In basically ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then because our culture is a snake eating its own tail, lots of places that do, like local places that are not McDonald's that do Friday fish fries, now include options to get your fish as a sandwich with cheese and tartar sauce. So.
Oh, wow. You gotta love it.
Yeah.
I feel like when I did it in Wisconsin, I just ate the fish and the fries, and it was glorious. But I'd like a sandwich too, you know?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fried fish sandwich. Delicious. So good.
Oh my gosh. Well, listeners, we really would love to hear from you about this.
Mm-hmm.
If you have experience with it, regional differences.
Oh, yeah. What your favorite side dishes, what your favorite seasonings are. I need to know all about it.
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what we have to say about the Friday fish fry for now.
I think it is. Yeah. We do already have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener.
Fishes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matt wrote, "This is my first time ever writing into a podcast. I have been listening to you since the beginning of the Foodstuff days and enjoy all of your episodes. They are informative, and the friendship you two share makes them so much more fun with every nerdy tangent. I am many weeks behind at this point, but I have been binging to catch up. I am writing in after finishing the replay of the Sriracha episode and listening to the drama that has unfolded. I personally have never actually had the Hoi Fung version, as I am not typically a hot sauce fan. However, a few years ago, I received a sample bottle of Yellow Bird organic sriracha through a friend and became obsessed, so much so that I would order 2 20-ounce bottles at a time. I have also gifted many a bottle to friends and family to spread my love for it, many of which have purchased additional bottles after their gift ran out. I know you love an opinion, so the interesting thing is I prefer the organic to the non-organic, and I am not normally a buy-everything-organic person. If anything, I purposely avoid the higher prices on organic. However, I did once get a bottle of the non-organic Yellow Bird Sriracha, as the organic was not available at my local store, and it's just not the same. It is clearly a different recipe. I do not know if they cannot source everything organic, so they changed the recipe, but the non-organic one is watery and the flavor is just slightly off. Don't get me wrong, I finished the bottle. It was still great, just not as amazing as the organic one. One of my favorite snacks is still some crackers and cheese with just a dollop of Yellow Bird organic sriracha. Delicious. I hope that this was not too long and rambling and you got some sort of joy reading it. Either way, thank you for the podcast. I learn something new every time I listen.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah. Welcome. Welcome to writing into podcasts. Welcome to our inbox. Thank you. Oh my gosh. We do love an opinion. And this is a great one.
We love hot sauce too,
right? So especially a hot, I don't think I've had that brand, but I'm going to look for it.
Yeah, I don't think I've had that one either. Oh my gosh. I just love hot sauce so much. I need to look into this. I've been going through, like, I know I go through like waves of this and listeners have heard me go through it, but I'm going through a phase where I'm adding hot sauce to everything again, even things that should probably be better without it. Just love hot sauce.
Just for the feeling, just to feel something. Yeah.
Just to feel something in my gold dead heart. Uh-huh. I just love it so much. But I do, I have a ton, but I'm always looking for more. So thank you.
Oh, well, I mean, the thing is that different hot sauces go so well with different things. I mean,
I made my gumbo for Mardi Gras recently, and I really debated, and gumbo aficionados can yell at me, but I really debated on what hot sauce I wanted to put in it, because I wanted a hot sauce in it.
Okay.
I won't say what it was, because I'll get No, I probably won't. It was from, it's pretty normal. But I, yeah, it's true. Like, you have to plan out. Sometimes I want a hot sauce that I know won't go with the thing I'm eating, and I let my want
override
my senses, my knowledge, and then I usually regret it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that a few times for sure. And yeah, then I was kind of like, get your life together, Lauren. Like, come on. Come on, Vogelbaum. Like, what are you doing? Like, choose the appropriate hot sauce for the dish.
Yeah. I'm on a real kick with this, like, really hot sauce right now. And of course, every time I add it to something, I'm like, wow, that was too hot. Like, yes. Why do you do this over and over?
You're like, that's the point of it. It's too hot. Here we are.
Exactly. It should be relegated to certain But anyway, yes, thank you.
Thank you
for the recommendation. I'm going to look for it as well. Mm-hmm.
And that is actually one of that issue that you were having is one of the reasons that I like sriracha, because it's a relatively gentle heat.
Yes.
Yeah.
It goes with, a lot of stuff.
It's got a little bit of sweetness that cuts it. Anyway, Arik wrote, the papaya episode today reminded me to check the store when I went tonight. Yep, they had cut pieces back on the shelf, so I had to pick them up. Always enjoy papaya, but always seem to forget about it. I also never realized there were so many varieties. With the one statement you made, I thought of a crossover, a mutual episode with the Stuff They Don't Want You to Know crew. What happens when you recklessly Google fruit? The Escoffier story is interesting. Had heard the name, but had not really heard any of the detail around it or what was contributed. I only worked in a pizza place, so I can't speak to what happens in larger kitchens. But even there, we had specific things we did for things. How to top, how to place, how to turn, etc. Definitely ran smoothly, and when I go back home, I always visit and see how things still run the same. Why mess with what works? A shout out to Pete and Mike for that summer learning experience. And in response to the listener mail, black olive fingers for the win.
Indeed.
Absolutely, right?
Yes. Well, interestingly, one, recklessly Googling fruit. I don't know about that. But our friend and coworker, Ben Bolin, occasionally reaches out to us and is like, let's do an episode again soon. And he just reached out to us. So hopefully that will happen in one way or another. We had a great time talking about ranch. something that he and I bonded over not liking. But yes, so hopefully that will happen. We do love doing those crossovers. I also thought this was interesting because I know I've talked to you about this, Lauren, but regarding kind of working in kitchens and these sort of militaristic, organized layouts of them, you and I started discussing the TV show The Bear, and I was saying, like, it stressed me out. It made me never want to eat at a restaurant again.
Oh, no.
Not, the show is really good. Like, don't read that as...
Yeah.
But I recently talked to a friend about it. And she had a whole different read on it, and it was fascinating.
Yeah?
Where she was like, no, that made me feel comfort that it was so organized in this way. And it just made me, I've just been thinking about it, pondering this. I mean, we won't go into what happens in the show, but I guess it was just interesting to me that she was sort of like, oh no, I put it on as a comfort show. And I was like, what?
Wow. Yeah, coming from industry, like my dad was industry, I have not watched that show yet because the stressful parts of it sound very, very, very stressful to me. And there's something that I am very familiar with, having that family history and lots of friends who are still in the industry to this day. So I'm just like, I understand it's a good show. I understand that I will end up liking it, but I just haven't felt like subjecting myself to like extra stress.
It's fair.
I'm gonna watch it someday.
It's also funny because I remember when I talked about it to you, I was like, oh, I don't. And I swear to God, listeners, I did not know this was a thing when I said this to Lauren, but I was like, I don't think it's a comedy. Apparently, that's a huge controversy.
Oh.
And like kind of a meme, a la what you talked about when you came on to Stuff Mom Never Told You to talk about Die Hard not being a Christmas movie. I didn't know that was a thing. I but I stepped in it unintentionally. I mean, it's got funny moments. I wouldn't call it a comedy, but that's, I'll step out
maybe
of the argument.
A dramatic comedy, perhaps.
Genres are strange. I'll say that.
A black comedy, maybe? Having not watched it, again, I can't, you know, personally lend an
opinion.
Well,
it was a huge debate happening online. and I did not know about it. But I do, again, I do think genres are sometimes difficult to pin down. So,
sure. Yeah.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. One day we'll revisit, perhaps. But thank you to both of these listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
Oh, we're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.